You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. This is SBS On The Money for this Thursday, the 18th of February 2021. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later we'll speak with Wesfarmers CEO Rob Scott about his views on the economy, but first to Facebook's ban on Australian news on its platform. And for more on that, I spoke earlier with UNSW Business School Associate Professor and Business Law Expert Rob Nichols. Facebook without news content, won't it make it less appealing?
I think it would make it a lot less compelling. Facebook itself has said today just how many billions of clicks Facebook users send to news sites. News is terribly important to Facebook users in Australia. And without news, Facebook's going to be a place that's filled with either very uninteresting information about our friends and family, or worse, rumour, innuendo, fake news. It's not going to be a very pleasant place.
What do you think this will ultimately mean for Facebook's international business model? Will it have to change, or is it happening to preserve it?
It's partly happening to preserve it. So there are two big issues. Facebook is facing an antitrust action in the US, and as part of that, it's trying to pull together its offerings, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, to avoid being broken up in the US. In the European Union, it's facing action over copyright and its obligation to pay for news in Europe. So essentially, it's saying, well, we can stop doing news in Australia, so Europe, you can't come after us, and the US, you can't break us up. So Australia is simply being used as an example in a much, much bigger play. And sadly, it's going to adversely affect advertisers and users in Australia in the meantime.
That's Rob Nichols there from the University of New South Wales Business School. And ex-Facebook Australia CEO has shared some concerns as well, namely on democracy. Here is Stephen Sheeler.
You know, Google in the past few days has come to an agreement with some of the big news organizations in Australia that seems to have taken a little bit of heat off of Google. Facebook, I'm sure, is working on the same thing. And hopefully those parties will come together. But I think even if they do come together and Facebook turns back on news, I think we should all reflect that, you know, this is a foreign entity basically saying, hey, we're going to flick things off when it suits us. And this is not just taking Tim Tams off the shelves of Australian supermarkets. This is screwing around with our information ecosystem and accessing information and content that's important to every Australian living in a democracy. So that's a big deal. And I think we should hold Facebook to account for it.
Ex-Facebook Australia CEO Stephen Sheeler there. Now for market reaction and what it means for media stocks, I spoke earlier with Kyle Rotter from IG Markets. Kyle, how did investors react to Facebook's decision to block access to Australian news content? And what will this mean for Australian media companies, especially those that are listed?
Yeah, well, they responded negatively overall. I mean, if you look at the stocks of both News Corp and Channel 9 as well, or 9 Entertainment, they sold off quite considerably on the basis of that news. And I guess what you could probably infer from that, as far as what the market's thinking here, is that after a little bit of positivity the other day with deals being struck between Google and News Corp, Google and Seven West Media, that potentially maybe Facebook would come around and play ball as well. It doesn't seem to have been the case. It seems to have come as a little bit of a shock to the market that Facebook has made this decision. Overall, it'll be interesting to really see how it hits these companies' profitability, because although there's that sort of symbiotic relationship between the big tech platforms and the media companies, the revenue that they generate there is reasonably small. But nevertheless, the obviously disruption, again, as these companies are confronted with that difficult digital transformation that seems to be a huge headwind to their businesses, has somewhat rattled investors' nerves today. So media companies were generally lower.
A number of profit numbers out today. Run us through a couple of the major ones.
Yeah, I suppose CSR was the real positive surprise. We saw them post really strong revenue again for the half. A really strong dividend number as well. And there were some concerns coming into that particular report that maybe some of the disruptions in terms of plasma collections last year might have hit revenue a little bit. that did show up in the numbers, but such was the strength in the company's flu vaccine arm that it really did offset some of those concerns and really did show us a bumper set of figures. So the share price rallied quite considerably on that one. The other one probably that really captured investors' attention was Wesfarmers. It posted a really good set of results. Revenue was really, really strong, increased its dividend too, but the share price did fall on the day, and that was probably for two reasons. One, the markets were potentially expecting a special dividend paid back to investors, or even perhaps share buybacks. And there is this lingering concern too, and this has been a bit of a theme throughout the supermarkets as well this earnings season, that perhaps the best of the kind of sales boost that we saw in 2020 will be very difficult to repeat for Wesfarmers this year, just because it was one of those big beneficiaries of the stay-at-home trade. So the shares were down despite a very solid result.
Kyle Rotter there from IG Markets. He ended on Wesfarmers. So for more on that result, including his views on the economy and JobKeeper and threats to economic growth, I spoke earlier with Wesfarmers CEO Rob Scott. Rob, we saw a very good set of numbers from Wesfarmers today, but to what extent are customers continuing to spend at your businesses in this current period?
Well, it was a pleasing result for the first half, and we also announced today that we've seen continued strong trading performance in our businesses through January and February to date, with the exception, obviously, of the various lockdowns that we've had in Western Australia, Victoria and Auckland. That has dented sales a bit, but overall our sales have remained quite strong in this calendar year.
Okay, the end of JobKeeper, does that worry you either from a business or an economic perspective?
Well, I think the JobKeeper program has been a very effective program for Australia. And if you look at our unemployment numbers, the numbers that just came out today, we've seen that jobs back into the market. We're also seeing that the economic statistics and economic health of the country has improved a lot. But we need to be mindful that there are still some people and some businesses that are still doing tough, particularly those sectors that have been dramatically impacted by the inability for international travellers to come in. So, look, I would imagine that going forward, stimulus and support efforts would probably need to be far more targeted, rather than generic type programs such as JobKeeper.
And given that, just how, you know, what is your outlook for the Australian economy? How confident are you?
I think we have a lot of reasons to be confident as a country. For the reasons I mentioned, we're seeing a lot of the economic statistics move into the right direction. We have seen confidence increase both at a consumer level and a business level. But we really can't take that for granted. The biggest risk that I see is really the ongoing potential for outbreaks of COVID and ongoing snap lockdowns. What we've found through the recent lockdowns, fortunately, we've got through them okay in WA and Victoria, but they are really confidence sapping, particularly for small businesses that hurt disproportionately. Also, at a family level, many people that haven't been able to send their kids to school, that causes enormous hardship and challenge. So I think there's an opportunity for us to be better at managing the COVID situation going forward, better control of hotel quarantining, a more measured and sophisticated approach to the lockdowns. But I think if we can do that, then I think we have cause for optimism, particularly with the vaccine coming in. But we cannot afford to be complacent.
And just finally, many businesses during COVID had a number of issues, namely, you know, supply chain. We've got rising costs to keep, you know, businesses COVID safe and customers COVID safe. So I'm curious to know, what do you think will be the lasting legacy of the pandemic on your business, and what did you learn from it?
Well, no, it's a really good question. We did see a number of costs, additional costs flow through the business around our COVID safe practices, carrying additional stock, additional investments we made in e-commerce and digital capabilities. But on reflection, the investment that we made in all those areas was critically important in terms of building trust and confidence with our customers and with our team members. So they were investments that we were very happy to make and we'll continue to make. Look, I think we'll be a lot more conscious going forward of safety and hygiene within our businesses. I also expect that digital engagement, the customer's digital engagement, and that doesn't just mean buying product online, it also means engaging with companies and brands digitally, even if you're in a store. I think that is going to be a lot more important going forward. Also, the trend of working from home. I know that a lot of our team that aren't that are working from home in certain areas are desperate to be able to get back with their colleagues and teams. But I think over time, there will be more flexibility around working from home.
Rob Scott there, the CEO of Wesfarmers. And wrapping up, Australia's unemployment rate has fallen 0.2% to 6.4% in January. 29,000 jobs were created and the economy has so far recovered 93% of the jobs lost since the peak of the pandemic. There are still some challenges though, and for that I spoke earlier with Alex Joiner, the Chief Economist at IFM Investors. Alex, how would you describe the speed in which jobs have recovered since the pandemic began?
Yeah, the speed of the labour market recovery has actually been one of the good things, one of the surprising things and surprisingly good things about the recovery in the broader economy. You know, we've seen the unemployment rate, which peaked about 7.5%, come down to 6.4% in January's numbers, and that's an unambiguously good thing. And a lot of that credit really needs to go to the JobKeeper initiative from the government, because that kept people attached to their employer. So what we saw is when the economy shut down, a lot of people, you know, stepped away from their jobs, but they've been able to step back. And that's been one of the underlying reasons, the key underlying reason for this recovery in the labour market.
I think, though, we've still got 2 million people unemployed or underemployed. So there's still a long way to go, right?
Well, that's right. There's, you know, we want to get the unemployment rate down to 5% or a little bit below, and that's going to require, you know, hundreds of thousands of additional jobs to be created. And, you know, that's got to be driven by economic growth, and, you know, the economic outlook is still quite uncertain. So, you know, I think a number of years is probably a likely sort of time horizon to put on getting the unemployment rate to where we actually want it. So there's going to be a little bit more grind in these numbers going forward.
And so given that, and it's going to take a few more years, JobKeeper is going to end soon. What do you think that means for the economy and getting to those unemployment targets?
Well, the ending of JobKeeper in March, we know there's going to be some labour market dislocation. You know, the Treasury's come out with an estimate of 100,000 jobs actually being lost because of the JobKeeper winding up. And that's going to take some time to absorb back into the labour market. I think what is key and what the government is working through now is just how to support people that will be out of the labour market or find it difficult to find a job for an extended period of time, because the industry that they're likely working in is going to be, you know, shut down for an extended period of time. And here we're talking about tourism and international education and these sorts of sectors that are going to be under pressure for a number of years yet, and until borders reopen.
Alex Joiner there, IFM Investors Chief Economist. That is SBS On The Money for this Thursday. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.